Well, you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 32. And tonight I'm going to share on joyful serving. Joyful serving. In Acts 20, verse 32, it says, the context here is Paul speaking to the elders at Ephesus as he's about to take his leave of the churches there. And he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to what? Receive. Receive. And in verse 35, the weak refers to those who have need, right? That we are to labor to support those who have need. And that it is better to give than to receive, right? More blessed to give, which is to serve, than to receive, which is to be served, right? That's the instruction that Paul gives the elders. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So that's the foundation of it all, right? Is that for us as believers, we're to support those who have need, to take care of them. And it's more blessed for us to do that, to look for ways to give than it is to receive. And we'll see why that is in a little while. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right? And the sacrifice that we make, right, is that we don't live our lives for our own selves or our own gain. Right? We present our lives or our bodies a living sacrifice, meaning that we don't live for us, for ourselves. We live for God to do his will, not to do our own. Right? And that's the only reasonable thing, given that we owe our lives to him, right? All the cool things that we have, we owe to God. The fact that we have eternal life, we owe that to God, and it didn't cost us anything. So it's only reasonable that we should want to serve and to do his will and not our own. And Galatians talks more about this. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Verse 13. Right? So, Paul speaking to the Romans, he beseeched them, he begged them to consider, you know, what their lives were, who they owed their lives to, and then to act accordingly, which is to give and to be in service to God and to his people. Right? We are sons of God, we're not servants of God. But God wants us to be able to give back and to serve and to take care of people. Galatians 5:13 talks about this. For brethren, you have been called unto slavery.
No.
Right? We have freedom of will. We're not servants. We're sons of God. We've been called unto liberty, unto freedom. Only use not liberty, don't use this freedom, for an occasion to the flesh, you know, to kind of satisfy your own wants and desires, but by love, serve one another, right? That's the alternative. By love, serve one another. Right? So that's God's will for our lives. It's not that we're forced to do it, right? We've got freedom. We've got liberty. But what we do with that is up to us. And God says that we should instead not use it for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Right? We can do whatever we want, and we're still going to go to heaven. Right? That's locked in. So we can't lose that. We can choose to live a life that's just for ourselves. By doing what we want is walking by the flesh. But instead, if we do what God wants us to do, then we're lovingly serving each other. And it's a love thing. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16. And that's the key. It's a love thing. But by love, serve one another. Right? It should be something that we do with joy. It should be something that we do with great zeal and love in our hearts. 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Right? Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. "But whoso hath this world's good," right? And what that means is, like, if you've got, you know, an abundance, if you have this world's good, you have, you know, material possessions or resources to contribute. "But whoso has these kinds of resources and sees his brother has need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Right? If you have this ability, if you have these resources to give, and instead you just shut it all up and keep it for yourself, how dwells the love of God in him? Verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Right? By carrying it out in service. Right? It's a love thing. So God encourages his kids to give and to serve and to love each other in that way. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 10. We ought to give of our lives and our resources and our time to help each other. Right? And we're all really good at that. That's something that God wants us to do, and we're really good at it. Because it's a love thing. The desire to care for each other. Romans 12, verse 10. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly" what? "Love." There's love again. "In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayers, distributing to the necessity of the saints." And that phrase, "distributing to the necessity of the saints," means contributing to the needs of God's people. Contributing to the needs of God's people. The saints are God's people, and the necessity is their need, and distributing means to take care of it, to contribute to them. "Given to hospitality." Right? And again, this is all part of being kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. It's a love thing. And Jesus Christ is our example in this area. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. And Jesus Christ said that it is better to give than to receive. And he was the example of this. He gave of his time and his resources constantly. All of the time. Getting very little sleep many times. But just continuing to give. Matthew 23, verse 1. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They won't even lift a little finger. You know, they require or tell everybody else what to do, but they themselves won't even lift a finger. Verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, all to show off, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief or best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. You're all brothers. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your leader. No. The greatest among you will be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased or cast down. And he that shall humble himself shall be what? Exalted. Right? It's God that does the exalting. And so he was teaching other people here. He was sharing with them, like, here are the scribes and the Pharisees, and this is how they behave. Right? They do things to show off. They do things to feel important. They do things so that you'll call them rabbi and master. But he instructed his disciples to not do that. Right? That together we're all brothers and sisters. And that the greatest among us are those who are servants, who serve and who help. Right? And as we humble ourselves, God is the one who will exalt us. We don't have to exalt ourselves like the scribes and the Pharisees did. God will do the exalting. Go to Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Right, so we don't have to try to make ourselves look important or feel special. God will do that for us. God will do that for us. And people respect somebody who is humble and who offers to help. They don't need to show off. Mark 10:42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, right? And a minister is someone who serves, who helps, who tends to other people, who takes care of other people. You'll see the word minister a lot in the New Testament, and it literally, as a verb, means to care for someone, to take care of their needs, whether that be a physical need or a spiritual need or a mental need. And it says they ministered unto them, it was to take care of them. Verse 44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom or payment for many. And that was Jesus Christ's purpose. He was the greatest, right? If there was anyone who deserved to be the greatest, it was Jesus Christ. He was perfect. He was perfect. Right? So there's no greater act of love and service than what Jesus Christ accomplished. He was the greatest, but he served the greatest. He served the greatest. He gave his life when without sin, as payment for all of us. Go to John, Gospel of John 13. Right? So if anybody deserved, you know, accolades and praise and to be the person being served by everyone else, it was the Son of God. He was perfect. But he served others. He gave his life in service to everyone else. John 13:12. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ. Right? He washed the disciples' feet. It says, so after he, Jesus Christ, had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you understand what I just did? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, this is proper, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Right? And the great example here is that Jesus Christ washed their feet. This was something that, you know, the servants of the households would do when people came to visit in biblical times. So like if I came over to Kate and Cree's house and they had a servant in the house, it was their job to greet me at the door and to take off my shoes and to wash my feet from the journey, right? This was, you know, it was a job, a humble job, if you will, right? And Jesus Christ, Lord and Master, was doing this for his disciples, right? As a show of humility, as a show of service, to say, none of us are so big that we can't pitch in and do this, right? None of us are so important that we can't help out and to serve. And that was the example that he left his disciples with. Go to Philippians chapter 2. So Jesus Christ is our example, right? If anybody deserved a break, it was him. But that's not what he chose to do. He didn't lord over people. He didn't have everybody else do his stuff. He continually looked for ways to give and to serve. Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife, which is rivalry, or vain glory, which is conceit, you know, to pump yourself up. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look for ways to take care of each other. Don't just concentrate on yourself and what you need or how you're doing, but also look at what you can do for other people. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. That's right. Right? And we just saw the kind of mind that was in Jesus Christ, right? A mind of service, a mind of looking to give and to help, right? And he was the example of verse 3, right? He did not esteem himself better than anyone else, even though in all actuality he was, right? He's the only Son of God. He's the only perfect person. If anybody had the right to esteem themselves better, it was him. But that wasn't the example, right? Jesus Christ made himself humble before other people. He washed their feet. He took care of them. And we're to do the same thing, serving with joy and with love, right? Verse 2, fulfill ye my joy and have the same love. Go to Hebrews 6, verse 10. Hebrews 6, verse 10. And so as we do this, Hebrews 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, right? And again, minister is to give and to serve and to help in whatever way that we can. God is not unrighteous to forget that stuff. He sees the work that we put in. He sees the love that we, you know, that it takes to do that kind of stuff. It takes great love to be able to serve and to help one another. God notices. He sees it. Right? He sees it when we minister to each other and take care of one another. That's what he sees. So it's not something that we have to do to get noticed of other people. Right? God notices it. He's the one who will bless us. He's the one who will take care of us. Go to Proverbs 22:9. So sometimes it might feel hard to do it, right? Sometimes it might feel like, oh, I don't really want to do this. Right? But God is not unrighteous to forget it. He sees it. Right? God sees it. Even if nobody else sees it, even if nobody else gets it, God just sees it. And that's who we're to work for. We're to work for God. Proverbs 22:9 says, he that has a bountiful eye shall be what? Blessed. And that phrase, bountiful eye, means you're looking to bless people. You're looking to give and to serve. The person who has a bountiful eye, who looks for ways to bless people, to be generous, is happy, right? Generosity makes you happy. So, he that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor, to someone who has need. He gives what he has to somebody who needs it, whether that's time, or it's money, or it's prayer, or it's some other service and help, right? To give to someone who has the need, that generosity blesses you. You're going to get blessed back. That's a promise of God. Finally, in Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Right? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, if we do give, God says it will be given unto us. Right? We'll receive back. So, if we give, we're sort of opening the doors to receive. Right? That's why it's greater. If we give, we're taking care of someone else and we're opening up the door for us to receive anyway, rather than just looking for ways to get something or looking for avenues to receive. If we give, then we're doing both. We're taking care of other people and we're opening up a door for ourselves. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Right? God promises to bless you back. And that's the illustration that he uses. It's like, you know, like a cup of flour. It's a good measure. It's the right amount to fill that cup. And then it's added down, it's tamped and shaken, and then more added on top. So it's like as full as you can possibly make it, and then it's running over. Right? That's the illustration that God uses for how he's going to bless you back. Right? So he wants you to serve with great love and with great joy, and his promise is that he's going to bless you back as you do it. And that's an amazing principle in God's word, right? Because he set it up that way. He set it up so that as we look to give, we receive. And if you think about what that cycle looks like, everybody gets their needs met and everybody gets blessed because you give, and then that opens the door for you to then receive. And if everyone is doing that, then everybody's giving and helping and everyone's receiving. Right? And that's the way that God wants us to function in the body. He designed it that way. And that's with great love and with great joy that we can have that service.